Good afternoon. Thank you, Terry. Okay. First, just real quickly, as loading up, just wanted to thank Claude and particularly Joe, those two in the Black Caucus, for getting this distinguished panel together. So very appreciative of that, and having an opportunity for you guys to listen to us. Following up, Terry, I'm going to share with you the problem. Many of these statistics you do know, but hopefully just give you a little context, and hopefully through this presentation, not only I'll give you just brief understanding of chronic disease, review some important data, review the existing disparities, but add some key questions along with Terry's questions in the discussion of eliminating health disparities from the data, not from from the social perspective that Terry provided for us and set up the context of our discussion. All of you know that chronic disease is a long latency period, prolonged course of illness, functional impairment of disability, and incurable. Our list, I think it's a little car we just walk around with. This is our top 10 list, or David Letterman list, arthritis, asthma, back pain, and other chronic pains, cancer, diabetes. This is what we're working from. And I beg to even add to that list now that HIV should be now moved from infectious disease now to chronic disease, because I think our education in terms of educating our community about HIV in an infectious point of view doesn't really communicate that this issue is really a chronic disease, and we must provide or promote health promotion a little bit differently in terms of preventing incidence and mortality among HIV and AIDS cases. So I like to just make my stint and just add that to our list. In the U.S., causes major limitations for more than 1 in 10 Americans. More than 90 million Americans live with chronic illnesses. Causes 70% of all deaths in the U.S., or more than 1.7 million people each year. And medical care costs for people with chronic disease account for more than 75% of the nation's costs, almost $1.6 trillion dollars in 2002. Some important data. Looking at the Kaiser Permanente study, if we look at those who have no chronic conditions, represents 72% of our population. As you go up, you have 6% of those in our population with multiple chronic conditions. And what's kind of interesting is that if you flip the triangle, as the study has indicated, is that the costs are pretty much similar in both all three categories. You would expect if those with no chronic conditions that the cost would be a little bit cheaper, but that's not necessarily the case. So something is not going right. Just throwing money at it may not solve the problem. Speaking of money, and that's where I'm going to spend most of my time, what does that $1.6 trillion really represent? In terms of cancer, $189 billion just spent each year, $403 billion on cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, $132 billion. Frankly, I think we need to just go to the New York Trade Center and put all of these diseases on the stock market, because I want to invest in getting some CVD stock. I mean, $132 billion that we're spending on that. That's where the money is. $150 billion on tobacco, $117 on overweight and obesity-related health conditions. The implications of these costs, the rates are increasing, are unsustainable. We can, as a country, manufacture money for a war and go out of debt, but for some reason we cannot manufacture, we've chosen not to manufacture money for our healthcare system. And with that said, the rate of increases in terms of dollars, we cannot sustain this. We're just going to bankrupt ourselves, both as a people and economically and globally. We have an aging will accelerate the healthcare costs. We're so focused on that particular age group, 18 to 54, but we have the baby boomers. And to be honest with you, my health department has not spent any time on just dealing with the issue of the elderly population. And that's frankly because we haven't got any money to really deal with that. And you look nationally, I don't know how your particular areas are looking at that, but we really do not have a plan to deal with our aging population. For Illinois, with relatively a low population growth, a rapidly aging population will face even greater challenges over the long term. Cost savings must be generated from reductions in chronic diseases. This burden, chronic diseases continue to cause the majority of disease morbidity, disability, and mortality in the population. With a reduction in deaths from chronic diseases, more residents are living with the impact of chronic disease. And the U.S. prevalence of chronic disease is significant and growing. As you all know, for asthma, has increased 75% between 1982 and 1996. For diabetes, it has increased 30% over the last 10 years. And of those born in 2000, approximately one-third will develop diabetes. We all know these statistics. I'm just reviewing all of this to make a point about my questions at the end. For overweight, if we take a look at the cost of obesity in the U.S., $117 billion are spent on overweight and obesity. And we know that. I mean, Thanksgiving, as soon as Halloween is over, not only are our departmental stores are starting their campaigns for Christmas, so are all the weight loss and all the exercise equipments are starting their commercials because we're spinning like crazy to lose weight, but something is not happening. But there's a $117 billion industry in terms of overweight and obesity in healthcare. Do you remember that? When we were growing up, remember we used to have to fatten up the kids at first? Well, you know, I don't think we should be doing that anymore, because now we're starting to see that many of the adult diseases that we're experiencing are now childhood diseases. But I'm from Louisiana. I'm from New Orleans. So fatten up, that was just it. You know, I was from the deep south. That was, put something on that boy's bones. And just over the last, Terry and I just last week did a press conference on MRSA, and Terry did a great job in terms of using a catchphrase for our media outlets. That is that this is not an outbreak of MRSA, it's an outbreak of public awareness. Really catched on really well, and Terry did an outstanding job in terms of framing that in its context. This is the same thing that's happening for obesity. Every week we're seeing issues that they're related stories in our media in terms of obesity, because frankly about five or 10 years ago we weren't hearing anything about obesity in the media or anything about the conditions, but the problem was brewing right underneath. You want to sit here and say, I mean, no pun intended, It was right in front of us all the time. Meaning it was truly right in front of us all the time. But we weren't really paying attention to it. So briefly, some existing disparities in Illinois. If we compare Illinois to U.S. in terms of our healthy people 2010 goals, we are not close. In terms of looking at our age-adjusted mortality for CHD, Illinois currently is at 194 deaths from CHD for 100,000. So in terms of our goals to get to 2010, we have a lot of work to do. I was looking at this slide, and it's interesting. We have a great disparity of breast cancer rates, particularly in the metropolitan Chicago area. The incidence of breast cancer rates and mortality rates from white to black is great. There is that disparity. But this slide doesn't really tell you that even though this is the incidence among the black population we can account for, but we all know that our black women are not either getting access or not coming in because either they're working, can't take off, get their mammography. So I would beg to differ that this incidence for breast cancer rates is a lot higher than what you're seeing in terms of whites. The only reason you're seeing the white breast cancer rates are higher is because they're accessing the system. So that picture is not necessarily telling the true story. But in terms of mortality, that picture is actually correct. For lung cancer, we haven't forgotten lung cancer. We still don't have any cures for lung cancer. We don't. The two big daddies in the room are breast cancer and prostate cancer, are getting all of our attention and all of our money. But lung cancer is hanging in the background. And once you're diagnosed with lung cancer, it's not a good deal. We've turned our attention from lung cancer. We've done a great job as a public health community around tobacco cessation and our ordinances and our laws, but lung cancer is hanging around, and there's definitely a disparity between incidence and mortality for whites and blacks. Diabetes, we can spend all day today on diabetes in terms of the mortality rate. It's just growing out of control. For suburban Cook County, Our deaths from diabetes aligns clearly with where the black population lives in suburban Cook County. and in addition where most of the black population is moving out of the city. And what you're seeing in terms of on the west side of Chicago, that's mainly our Hispanic population. And if I'm blessed to see you guys in 10 years in the same position, I don't think the Lord has me in this position 15 years. I hope not. Chicago's politics are just a blood sport, and I can't do it. I can't do it. But I would beg to come back to you that west side where our Hispanic population is growing, it'll be just as red as the south. In fact, this whole picture, if we don't do anything, will be completely red from the northern port, from where the city O'Hare Airport is. I don't know if I can... This is O'Hare Airport. Okay. From here down, this is my Hispanic population where they're dominant, and where my black population is dominant in suburban Cook County. I would beg to differ that's going to probably be red in a couple of years. But we'll see. What's critical is, what does our future hold? Every second someone is developing diabetes in our country. What is the lifetime risk for diabetes for people born in the U.S.? One in three Americans have a lifetime risk for diabetes. Two out of five African Americans and Hispanics have a lifetime risk of diabetes. One in two Hispanic females have a lifetime risk. For us, all of us know in this room that the epidemic that's here and now is HIV in our community. But the epidemic in our Hispanic community that's coming on board is in our Hispanic populations. So thus, again, we're spending $132 billion. If I was an investment person, I would tell you to buy stock in our communities. This is where the money is, $132 billion on diabetes, and none of it is coming to public health. That's all going to the healthcare side. So we are focused on a lot of our attention on bioterrorism and emergency preparedness, but the dangers clearly are the tsunami that's present is from diabetes. It's just waiting offshore and just waiting to come on. Come on shore and do some real havoc. I'll finish up just a couple of slides in terms of our data, in terms of when we looked at each year, by state law, all 95 health departments must do a strategic health plan. Round one was done between 2000 and 2005, and at that time period, round one, all health departments basically said that chronic disease was a major issue that all of us need to focus on. That was basically between 2000 and 2005. Now, one thing that's a problem with our strategic health plans is when we put them out, we don't get any money to do anything about those plans. So we're doing all this study and this work, but we're not getting any money from our General Assembly or really the people of Illinois to really take these issues that they've told us they want us to work on. And because we didn't work on it, round two, from 2005 to 2010, we're seeing that chronic disease is clearly an issue that they want us to work on. But again, we still don't have any money dedicated to our strategic health plans. Following up on the slide that Terry presented, I'll just take another spin off of that, is that obviously all of us know that behavior are clearly factors in terms of contributing to early mortality. But all of our money, you would say, okay, 40% is a behavioral issue, but we're not spending 40% of our money on changing the behavioral factors. In fact, estimate is that 1 to 3% of the total U.S. healthcare dollars are spent on population-based health promotions and disease preventive services. The vast majority of healthcare dollars are spent on direct medical care, despite the fact that clinical care is credited with only 5 of the 30 years which has been added to life expectancy since the turn of the century, yet we have spent 90% of our money on clinical care. So all the drug companies are running out there saying that they've done this wonderful job, but they've only added 5 years. Okay. They got Betty lobbyists, better marketing. But if we take that thought pattern that if they were spending 1 to 3% of the U.S. healthcare dollars were spent on population-based healthcare, for my health department, roughly, if we look at our spending, and these numbers will continue to move, because if you know in government, paper money is just basically paper money. It never really gets confirmed until a lot of auditors come in and say that this is real. But in the end, if you just look at these figures, the county of Cook roughly spends about $929 to about $1 billion on its healthcare system, and the public health department spends about 5% of that. But the county of Cook, out of that $882 million, which you don't see, out of $882 million that is appropriated to the healthcare system, I only get $16 million that is appropriated. The rest of the difference between the $16 million and the $47 million represents outside funding. So the people of suburban Cook County are living very nicely on someone else's dime, but they're not putting their money where their mouth is. And that includes me. I'm a resident of suburban Cook County. So just in conclusion, just adding some key questions in discussion of eliminating health disparities, how can we be assured that state and local data will be available for preventive planning? One of the issues that Dr. Whitaker has really aggressively started towards in handing off the football to Dr. Arnold is that our data in Illinois has been locked up into silos and in warehouses, and we can't push it out and really understand it. And Dr. Whitaker has done a great job in terms of kind of breaking that down for us, really starting to let the health departments in, particularly mine and Terry's, into getting some analysis done on that data so we can really talk about these issues to our communities and vote to our General Assembly. Also, how do we convince policymakers that only through investment in prevention will we be able to avoid the chronic disease tsunami? My county board is putting $882 million. I sit in a boardroom with six other colleagues, and six of those colleagues run healthcare systems. Three are hospitals, one's a jail system, and one's a community center. And I clearly tell them that if I was to get all of your money, all of you would be out of a job. Because basically, because they have a louder voice, is because they can buy a new x-ray machine in a political term, and you can show it and take a picture of it, but I can't change a behavior factor in a political term. We all know that. So I can't really sell that. So we must work hard. We must figure out how do we convince our policymakers that only through investment and prevention will we be able to avoid this crisis. And then lastly, will Illinois have an integrated and long-term approach to preventing chronic disease? Our state has started down this path of universal health care coverage, but the discussion hasn't ended, and we're not there yet. So with that, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Martin. One of the things I also wanted to mention is that when we talk about Hispanics, we have to be really careful that we don't use this garbage can approach, that there are different groups within Hispanics. And as you talk about diabetes in the city of Chicago, it's clear that Puerto Ricans have a death rate from diabetes way beyond everyone else. So we need to be very careful where we can to segregate that data. The data also is not clear, and when you start talking about hospitalizations, ER visits, and what have you, for Puerto Ricans or Hispanics, broken out Mexican, Puerto Rican, at least at that level, even for asthma care. And to your point about chronic disease, the city of Chicago, my departmental budget is about $204 million. The city only contributes $45 million to that. But of the total budget that I have, less than 1%, and that's rounded up, is for chronic disease. So with that, we'll move on to our next panelist, who is Dr. Colonel Damon Arnold. Damon is now the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, but he used to work in our shop. He used to be the medical director for bioterrorism for the city of Chicago. And I'm really proud to see how Damon has moved very quickly, almost in a meteoric fashion, into these positions. So Dr. Arnold is going to talk about the chronic disease programs and some of the manpower issues. Dr. Arnold.